Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you on a glorious day such as this. The whole world recognizes that Jesus did come into this world and he paid the price for our sins. We give you glory and we give you praise and give you honor. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't need to go look for Jesus in the grave because he's not there anymore. He is risen. We don't need to go up to heaven to bring him down before he can do something for us. But what saith the scripture? The word of faith is in your mouth. So we thank you, Lord, for this word of faith. Now, as we release the word of faith this morning, let the entrance of that word bring light into our hearts and understanding to the simple. And let the name of the Lord be glorified. Let all flesh be silent before him. Let him receive the glory only in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Today's topic, as you can see, despised and rejected of men, but chosen of God. So that goes right along with what we've been talking about the last 3 days. But let's bring it off from this angle as well. Despised and rejected of men. Well, the number one person that was despised and rejected of men and chosen of God, of course, is Christ himself. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, we're told in the third chapter that very statement about the Lord, that he was indeed despised, he was rejected and everything, you know. And people said, well, you know, he's the son of a carpenter, you know, and, you know, who is this one? Come upon us so quickly. Where did he come from? Where did he get his wisdom? Isn't this his father over here? Isn't this his mother and his sisters over here with us? I mean, who is this guy? Where'd you get your authority from? And Jesus said, well, you know, I will also ask you one thing. If you tell me, then perhaps I'll tell you. So, the baptism of John, whence was it? Is it from God or from men? Well, the people thought in their hearts, if we say it's from men, we fear the people because they hold John to be a prophet. So, we can't say it's from men. Well, if we say it's from God, then he'll say, why didn't you then believe him? The wisdom of Christ. Hallelujah. The way he used to pose those questions, well, they rejected him. They said, well, you know, we don't know who you are and so forth. And he told them, but they rejected him. He said, well, I came in my father's name, but you received me not. So they rejected him. But as many as received him, glory to God, he gave them power to become the sons of God. So we can read about all of his rejection throughout the Gospels. They didn't want any part of him. But, you know, let's read just one verse here in Acts chapter 4. We're going to read about the stone which the builders rejected, you know. And he's become the head of the corner. You know, this was Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. He said to them, ye rulers of the people. This is Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. And ye elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, this was after he and John had healed the man at the gate to the temple. You know, if we be examined this man, today of what good deed was done to this man, by what means he was made whole, well, let it be known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that's how you do it. That's how you give glory to God when there is a miracle. You don't try to parade yourself as if you did anything. They even said, look, you know, don't think that we within ourselves have done anything, but the name of Jesus through faith in his name has given this man this perfect soundness that you see before you all. And they said, you know, said to him, said, look, the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. Now he's going to indict them now. Whom God raised from the dead. Even by him does this man stand here before you made whole this day. Now this, Jesus, is the stone which was rejected of you builders, but has become the head of the corner. Hallelujah. Neither is there salvation in any other. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, wherever you are listening to this, there is salvation in no other. You can't do it. There's only salvation in one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you need to be saved. Can't do it any other way other than the name of Christ. We don't need to try to please other religions and say, oh, we are all the children of God. You know, every which way you go to God, there's no such thing in the scriptures. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And this is the, stone that was rejected. They said, well, we don't want him. Well, whether you want him or not, he was chosen by God. we're going to look at, this lesson today on the heels of, what we have been talking about. You know, we've been talking about the women that have been rejected, and despised of men. But many of them are chosen by God with a great anointing on their lives to do something great, but it's not just women. There's a lot of things, that the scripture has to tell us. This thing that Peter was quoting in Acts chapter 4, it's taken out of Psalm 118. In Psalm 118 verse 22, we read about the stone that was rejected of men, which eventually became the head of the corner. Prophetic at the time that the psalmist wrote that, in the book of Acts, we saw that it had already come to pass. Well, let me just read a few lines here from verse 19 of Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. Now, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected or refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. And this is also the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, so that's where those sayings come from. The stone which was rejected by the builders, the very same has become the headstone of the corner, which is Christ. Remember, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Christ Jesus himself being the glue that holds everything together. You want to call it that? It's the chief cornerstone. You remove that chief cornerstone, everything's going to fall down. Everything will come down crumbling. Let's read this in Ephesians chapter 2. For through him, hallelujah, from verse 18, we both have access by one spirit to the Father, whether you are Jews or Gentiles, whether you are male or female. And particularly to you Gentiles, he says, you are no more strangers and foreigners. That's right. But you are now fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you are now built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verses 18 to 22. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see this concept throughout the scriptures of things that are despised, rejected, things that are looked down narrowly upon, whom God actually has chosen. There's a very good lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we can go into read from, turn with me to from verses 27 through 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We will read from verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know, God doesn't necessarily go after the great, the mighty. Sometimes he does, but not always. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Well, that's what people thought were foolish, to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world. You know, confound the things which are mighty. Well, people even say, well, women are the weaker vessel. Well, God chooses the weak things of this world to even confound the mighty. And base things of the world, things that are narrowly looked upon, things that are despised, has God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are. This is how God works. So that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's how. The reason God does it is so that no, that's why he does it like that. If God always chose the mighty, if God always chose those who are already great to use them for the kingdom, if God chose always those who are already clean, spotless, blameless, never did anything wrong, you know, then people will glory in themselves. But we're going to see the stories of whom God chose are usually people despised and rejected. They are usually people who were counted out sometimes. They themselves might have counted themselves out, you know, because of their past, you know. And so let's look at it. He said, look, God does all these things so that no one should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Now, this is Christ in us. Brings out wisdom of God in us, brings out the righteousness of God, brings us into sanctification and becomes our redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, so there are many things we want to consider in this throughout the Bible, beginning from the book of Exodus. Let's look at some of these stories of how, you know, in the scriptures, even though they are just like stories, there's a lot of hidden lessons. Now, in the book of Exodus chapter 3, we see Moses having an encounter. Now, of course, this was the same Moses who had tried to take the law into his hands back in Egypt, and he was rejected of his brethren. He said, well, who made thee a judge over us? Are you going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian yesterday? So Moses knew that the matter was discovered, and he ran, you know, because you dare not put your hand against an Egyptian. And he did. There was something in Moses that, you know, he started to think when he was in the king's palace. He was being groomed to be the prince of Egypt. You know, something was in him. He thought that, you know, this wasn't right. I don't really belong here. You know, so something started to, you know, stir up in him. And he would look at all the injustice. He would look at the, you know, the brutal beatings that the Egyptians gave to the Jews, and he didn't like it. You know, and he, you know, the thing grieved him in his heart. So one day he saw one Egyptian beating you know, one of the Jews. I mean, this man was already weak, already dying from the stress of carrying so much weight and laboring and so forth. They wouldn't give them food. They wouldn't give them a break. They wouldn't give them water. And on top of that, beating them badly. So Moses stepped in there and said, stop that now. You know, and the man wouldn't stop. So he had to come after him and began to beat him. Unfortunately, I mean, Moses didn't mean to kill him. He just wanted to inflict some pain on the man. Probably took a stone and struck the man on the head or something. And then the man died. And Moses looked around and said, my goodness. You know, so he went and hit the man. Everybody ran away and he hit the man. He thought the matter would not be known. But ladies and gentlemen, the matter was known. And so the next day he saw two of the Israelites striving with one another. And he says to them, look, ye are brethren. You should not do evil to one another. I mean, it's bad enough that these Egyptians do that to you. Why are you doing it to yourselves? Why are you beating up one another? You should be strong and fight the enemy. And your brother is not your enemy. And the young man who was doing the evil, the oppressor, said, look, you know, who do you think you are? Who made you a judge over us? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Moses said, my goodness, this matter is known. But remember, who made you a judge and a ruler over us? Well, he rejected him. So he ran. And he ran away from Egypt, went through the wilderness for I don't know how long until he came to a place called Midian. So anyway, that's the story, you know. And then sometime while he was there, you know, met the daughter of Jethro and so on and so forth. You know, he began to see something going on, you know. Saw this mountain. He said, what's going on there? Yeah, I got to go check out that place. I said, well, you can't go there. Nobody ever gone up on that mountain. They told him, said, well, yeah, I'm going to check it out. So he went there one day. And when he got there, he saw something. He was amazed. He saw this fire, you know, he had seen this thing. It was like this glowing that he saw. I said, what is that glowing? Let me go there. And then as he dropped closer, he had to climb up that mountain. It wasn't an easy climb too, you know. So that's the reason people didn't even go there, because it wasn't an easy climb. But he got up there and he said, well, I'm going to check this thing out. And when he got up there, he saw, well, you know, it was actually a fire. But, you know, what he had seen that it looked like glowing was actually a fire. And he said, what is this thing? You know, there's nobody here. Who's setting a fire here? And he said, well, let me turn aside and check this thing out. You know, praise the Lord. And that's where the story started. You know, and Moses, he said, look, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why this bush is on fire, but it's not burnt. I've never seen any such thing. You know, so, and that's how the Lord got his attention, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the fire and all of that was just to get his attention. A fire was not the real thing. You know, sometimes when we see these phenomena from God, you know, we run off and say, well, we've seen the glory. Well, that was just to get your attention. The real thing is coming from the Word. If you stay there long enough to hear his voice, that's the real thing. But if you run off after you see the glory, if you see the cloud and you see the pillar of fire and you run off and shout the victory, say, well, I've seen the cloud, I've seen the glory. Well, you missed it, because all of that was just to get your attention. So God did all that just to get Moses' attention. And if Moses had never turned aside, you know, to see the great sight, he never would have heard the word. But something was inside saying, I got to check this thing out. Let me turn aside and see this thing. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4, then the Lord called unto him out of the midst of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he's surprised. Like, whatever it is, he knows his name. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place where you are standing upon is holy ground. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is the, you know, unwritten part of this story. Moses As far as he was concerned, when he looked around, all he saw was dirt and bush and rubbish on the ground. Maybe leaves, maybe dry leaves, maybe lizards. I don't know what all crawl up there, you know. But there was nothing in his mind, you know, that he even resembled anything like God. He didn't even know what all he saw was bush and dirt and all this rubbish on the ground. But the Lord said, no, this is holy ground. That's right. Now, when the Lord comes into your life, you know, all the dirt, all the bush, all the rubbish, and all the whatever it was that you had before, that's all different now. Now, you're holy ground. Glory to God. It's now holy ground because the presence of the Lord is upon it. One moment, it was dirt, bush, and rubbish on the ground. The next moment, it's holy ground because the presence of the living God is upon it. Hallelujah. That ought to give us some joy and ought to give us some hope. Didn't matter what happened in your life before. Didn't matter what your past. Didn't matter what you have done before. Look, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, when the living God, liquid fire of his presence comes upon you, my goodness, it's holy ground. That's it. And God not caring anymore that God never told Moses anything about you killed a man. That's gone. Glory to God. Now he's going to deal with you in the fire. He's going to deal with you in the glory of his presence. So, you know, all of that, you know, and that's the thing with people. You know, they will never let you live down your past. They'll always bring it up before your face. The devil himself will bring it up before you yourself will bring it up before your own face. But the Lord, he's done with all of that. Glory to God. Right now, right here is where you are. God's not dealing with you in your past. Unless you never repented of that past, and that's a different story. But if you turned from that past and turned to the Lord, God can take, you know, this man was a murderer. He ran away. He could have been heir to the throne. But because he killed a man, he ran away from his life. And it took him many years, and he even forgot how to be a prince anymore. You know, he started to walk as a shepherd boy and so forth for Jethro. And all of these things and so on, you know, but the Lord had a call on his life. You can't run away from that. Oh, no. He was called. He was going to be a deliverer no matter what. And whether the people rejected him or not, he was going to be a deliverer. And the Lord will send him right back there. That's those same people that rejected you and say, who made you a judge and a deliverer between us? You're going to be their deliverer. When you say, I'm not going back there. So the Lord said, yes, you are. And you will do as I say. And Moses, he tried to get out of it, you know. And I tell you something, you know, most of the people that the Lord would use, the great ones in the Bible, you know, and there's a, you know, there's this none greater than that Moses in all of that Old Testament, you know, and, you know, he didn't want any part of it. You know, he didn't want to go. He gave all kinds of excuses. So, well, I can't go back there. Who am I going to say sent me? I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. I mean, he tried so. In fact, God almost got angry with him. You know, he was trying to get out of it. He didn't want any part of it. You know, quite unlike people who step out today and are bragging and doing all of this. Most of the time, the call of God in the lives of people who are going to be great, they don't even want any part of it. You know, they didn't even, you know, they're just running away from God. They're doing all of these things, they're doing crazy stuff. And God put his hand upon them. And he's going to turn things around. He is the master. He is the potter. And we are the clay. And he can do as he wants with our clay. You know, God sent Jeremiah in Jeremiah 18 to the potter's house. And he said, you go down there and I will show you something. He'll show you my word. And so in Jeremiah chapter 8 verses 1 to 4, Jeremiah went there and he saw the potter making pottery. And as he made it, Jeremiah was looking and said, well, what is this thing? What is the Lord trying to tell me here? And the Lord said, just hold on now. I'm going to show you my words when you get there. So Jeremiah looked at this man. He was making clay. And he was making the clay. The clay was messed up in his hands. Bible say call it, it was marred, it was messed up, out of bent out of shape, and so forth. Now, this potter, you know, he's an expert, he knows what he's doing, but this particular piece of clay got messed up, got bent out of shape. And so, what did the potter do? You know, did he actually, let's see what the potter did with the thing that was messed up. You know, here's what the most of us probably would have done, is throw that piece away. Well, the potter didn't do it. Here's what he did. So I went down to the potter's house, and he wrought a work on the wheels. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 3. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred, messed up, bent out of shape. You know, he had something he wanted to craft, but the thing got messed up, you know, and in the hand of the potter. So what did he do? Did he throw it away? Absolutely not. He made it again into another vessel, even as he pleased the potter to do it. I call that a Holy Ghost makeover. Hallelujah. And he can do it too. He can take what's bent out of shape, what's broken, what looks like it's all messed up, and he can put it together and make it again, even as he pleases him. Hallelujah. But you know, the devil will tell you, you know, well, you are all messed up. You are all bent out of shape. You should be, you can't please the Lord because you did this and you did that. But the Lord, he made it again. Glory to God. And how did he do it for all of us? He sent a Christ. That's right. And that's what the whole world's recognizing this weekend. He sent the Christ to make us over. Glory to God. And if any man now be in Christ, he's the work of the Holy Ghost made over. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. He made you over. He didn't throw you away. He took the same lump that was messed up and he made it again. Glory to God. And so God told Moses, he said, look, the place where you're standing now is holy ground. Once the presence of God is upon it, it becomes holy ground. And you're going to go back there. And they rejected him, but he went back there. And you know, even when he got there, they didn't want any part of him, you know. And there were some loud mouths over there that didn't want any part of it. But at the end of the day, Moses was that deliverer, whether they rejected him or not. And he was a runaway murderer turned deliverer. Woo-hoo! Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your past is in your past. And I've told people this before. You will never be anything in life better than your past if you do not learn how to move beyond your past. That's right. Did that when we did our, you know, Pillars of Wisdom series. Look, whether that past was glorious or whether that past was evil, if you don't move beyond it, you will never be better than that. Even let's say it was something good. Well, if you don't move beyond that, that's all you will achieve. The great visionaries in life, they don't rest on their oars. They look for something new, new horizons and so forth. That's why they keep going. Now, if it was something evil in the past and you don't move beyond that, you keep rewinding. And I tell people, get your finger off that rewind button. You're rewinding and playing about, rewinding and playing about. Get that finger off that rewind button. God wasn't rewinding anything for Moses. He just, look, you're going forward. You're going to do something. Never mind that you are a murderer, you are a this and that. He didn't care about any of that, you know. But he had a call on his life. Ladies and gentlemen, there are things we don't understand about how God works, you know. But the Lord's ways are not our ways, according to Isaiah 55. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The things that we think about, that's not how he operates, you know. And the people that are rejected, they say, well, you know, Joseph, you know Joseph's story. I mean, many chapters in the book of Genesis. And Joseph, his brethren rejected him, like, you're not going to rule over us. And he had these dreams that he told, you know, and made them to hate him even more. They already hated him because, you know, his father loved him. And because he always told of their evil deeds, so they hated him even more. And then when he told them of their dream, of his dreams, they hated him even much more. You know, and his dreams, well, interpretation of those dreams would be like his brothers would bow down to him and he would rule over them. And they say, you'll never do it. you will be over us. God forbid. You know, so they wouldn't do it. And they said, look, we're not going to do that. And we'll see what will become of your dreams now. We're going to kill you or cast you over here and do this. You know, they plotted all kinds of things against Joseph. And God would look at them. God has his own plans. All the would-be destiny destroyers inside of his family. God had some destiny helpers, you know, a couple of his brethren that would help him out of there and say, well, don't kill him. Just do this and do that. Because they wanted to save him. But they wanted to kill him. And in fact, they told his father that he's dead. An evil beast has rent him. They brought his garment, soaked it in blood. And the man went and sorrowing for many years. You know, and this, his brothers were very wicked. They deceived their father like that. And they thought they got rid of him for good. You'll never reign over us. But you know the end of the story. He did rule over them, finally. And no matter all the things that happened to Joseph, eventually, the word of the Lord, which was the same word that was trying him throughout all that time, word of the Lord found him, you know, found him faithful. And the Lord elevated him, and he became ruler over the very people that rejected him. And their lives were in his hands. He had the power to have destroyed them all. But thank God for a heart of forgiveness in Joseph. You know, well, let's talk about many people that were rejected. How about David? David, after that, Saul lost favor before the Lord. Now, Saul was the first king. You know, God himself was number one king and wanted to be king, and they rejected God as being king. Said, well, give us a king like all the other nations and so on. So when God put Saul in the place and Saul disobeyed the Lord, we've talked about that before, he lost his role to function as king. And God told Samuel in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, you can read the first 13 verses. The Lord told Samuel, well, look, I'm going to choose for me another person. You know, this Saul, he had despised my word and I've rejected him. So here's what I want you to do. Go over here and so forth, and I'll tell you what to do. And when he went, the Lord told him, you know, call Jesse and his sons. You know, I'm going to tell you whom I've chosen among his sons. Well, so, you know, so this, as the story went, Saul went over there, called Jesse. Now, this was going to be a coronation service. Samuel is going to go in there and anoint someone king. And it's going to be one of the sons of Jesse. That's what the Lord told him. You know, and so he called, you know, Jesse, hey, you know, bring your sons and so forth. You know, the Lord will choose one of them to be king and so on. And of course, well, Jesse brought all his sons except David. He brought Eliab and the rest of them and so forth. And Eliab was a tall man and, you know, skilled in battle and different things, you know, and he was strong and so forth. So they began the audition. Eliab, he passed forth in front of them. And Samuel, he looked at the man and said, my goodness, this guy is good. He's strong. He's handsome. He's everything. And surely, this is the Lord's anointed. And the Lord said, no, I have rejected him. You know, because the way you see is not the way I see. So Every one of them, every last one of them, passed through before Samuel. And the Lord said, no, I rejected them. And the Lord could have told Samuel right away, but the Lord was bringing out a point. He didn't tell him. He went through all that exercise. I don't know how long it took. So finally, he says to Jesse, listen, the Lord said it's going to be one of your sons, and you've sent all your sons before me, and the Lord has rejected them all. Surely, there must be someone else. Because the Lord already said, see, that's the thing about the word of the Lord. Always go in knowing that the word of the Lord is true. And even if you don't understand it, go in trying to figure it out. Don't throw it away as if it's not true. We covered that when we were doing this, you know, this series over the last 3 days about the women of faith in Christ. You know, some of the writings of Paul that were difficult to understand. You go in there assuming that it is accurate. Don't go in there assuming that it's wrong and then try to explain it away. No. Go in there assuming that it is accurate because it's the word of the Lord. And then you find understanding. So Samuel said, look, the word of God must be accurate. God said, your sons, and you've shown me all your sons. And God rejected every one of them. Surely there must be another son somewhere because the word of the Lord told me one of your sons. So just say, oh, yeah. there is this other one, but, you know, he doesn't care about anything other than, you know, blow the flute and the music and so forth. And he's out in the bush with the sheep. You know, that's all he does, you know. And he was not even invited. The one that was chosen of God was not even invited to his own coronation ceremony at first. But he was the one that was chosen. And God said, and Samuel said, nobody's going anywhere today unless you send and fetch him. So they sent and fetched, David. He probably came reluctantly because he said, look, you know, I don't know what you guys are doing, drinking and doing stuff over there. I'm going to stay here with the sheep. They said, no, you're coming with us. So he came over there. And as soon as he came, he looked like Samuel looked at him. He was like, rather little youth. Everybody probably looked at him with disdain. What is this guy going to do? And the Lord said, yep, that's the one. That is the one. Glory to God that I have chosen. And you know how it was with David. Even how he went up against Goliath and everybody looked at him and said, you can't do that. But that was the one that God chose. Isn't that a beautiful story? And when everybody said, you know, he wasn't even invited at first, but yet he was the one chosen. Now, many times the things that we choose are actually rejected by God. And the things that we despise are the ones that God actually chooses. Now, in the book of Luke 16 and verse 15, Jesus told the people, he said, look, the things that you choose that are highly esteemed among you, you look at accolades, you look at height. Now, Saul was head and shoulders above the people. So was Eliab. I mean, these people were tall and lanky and handsome and skilled and trained. You look at all those things, but God said, no, I rejected those things. Hallelujah. You know, God said, look, I'm going to take the weak and the base things of the earth. Those are the ones that I'm going to use. I'm not going to use the mighty. I'm not going to use the strong. And he did exactly that. And Jesus turned around and said, look, the things which are highly esteemed among men, those things are an abomination before the Lord in Luke 16 and 15. Abomination, that's a strong word. You know, he didn't even say that, well, those things are displeasing. Now, that's repulsive. An abomination is, I don't know, something extremely evil before the Lord. But these are the things that we glorify. You know, we glorify titles. We glorify position in life. We glorify all these things. In fact, there are organizations, churches, and so forth today. When they want to appoint people, they look at the influential, the ones that are wealthy. They put them in positions, you know. They might even choose someone that's well-to-do to be the pastor. He's well-to-do, so he'll be the pastor. You know, these ones are well-to-do, and this and this. These ones are educated. We'll put them over here, and so forth. Well, God, Jesus said, those things that are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination in the sight of God. God has no concern. Those things mean nothing to him. The only thing that's of value to him is anything that the God of heaven puts his anointing upon. If the anointing of God is not upon it, it's worthless. Doesn't matter what title or anything they carry. When the anointing of God is upon that thing, what used to be dirt, what used to be bush, what used to be rubbish, now becomes holy ground. But it's because of the anointing. Hallelujah. And the Lord, there's many stories like that. In the book of Isaiah chapter 60 verse 22, you know, there is a salient point that Isaiah would bring forth here. How God can take something small, you know, something that is little, something that is even despised and even rejected, and now he can turn it into something great. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A little one, even something feeble, something small, shall become a thousand. Glory to God. And a small one shall become a strong nation, because I, the Lord, will hasten it in my time. You know, because that's how the Lord works. He can take something that is nothing, so something that is despised and rejected, you know, and then he can make it great. And that's how he works. He doesn't always choose the great. He doesn't always choose the mighty, but he can take what's rejected, what's broken, you know, what people thought, you know, was no good. Did you know that, you know, there was a woman in the Bible, you know, called, you know, Mary Magdalene, you know, and she was despised, rejected. I mean, she had a lot of devils too, you know, I mean, who knows all the kinds of devils that were in her, but, you know, you never know how the Lord would choose different things in the Bible. You know, this Mary that was had so many devils and stuff like that at one time, you know, was chosen by God, chosen by the Lord, you know, to be something, to do something amazing. Well, let's read a story here in John chapter 20. Now, we already covered this in the last 3 days when we were doing those lessons. But let me bring out this point here. You know, so in the book of John chapter 20, let me just read a few verses, perhaps from verse 11 or so. Let's see. And, you know, so we, well, let me read it from verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, you know, and she came to the sepulchre and so forth. And this Mary, finally, she had an encounter here, you know, that there were many things about her, but the Lord chose her. There were several things, you know, the Lord would choose this woman to carry the first message of the resurrection. Praise the Lord. You know, the things that are rejected among men, well, they are the ones that God may actually choose. In the book of Luke, chapter 8, you know, Mary Magdalene was listed as one of the women who traveled with Jesus and supported his ministry, you know, and also in Mark, chapter 16. So let's read, you know, some of these stories about this woman that would have been naturally rejected by many and so forth, you know. But let's read. Certain women in that surrounded Jesus. Now, in the book of Luke chapter 8, and it came to pass afterward that Jesus went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, you know, and also Mary called Magdalene, out of whom he cast out seven devils. These were people that were around Jesus. And, you know, so, you know, and so forth. And they mentioned a few others. And there were some women that were around Jesus' ministry. Those of you who thought that, well, Jesus never chose any women. These women were around his ministry. They ministered unto him out of their substance. Just like we've covered in these lessons, you know, women know how to do that kind of ministering, succoring, support, nurturing, you know, and they helped Jesus in his ministry and so forth. Now, this same Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out seven devils, you know, you fast forward to this John chapter 20. I just read this place just to see that, just so you know that this is the same Mary. Because there were many Marys in the Bible. You get here in John chapter 20, and you see that upon the first day of the week, this same Mary, out of whom seven devils had been cast out, right? You know, Jesus said, he gave a principle. He said, look, he that is forgiven much, loveth much. You know, so this woman is forgiven a lot. A lot had done a lot for her, so she really loved the Lord. And, you know, when everybody went there and they left, you know, this Mary, she stood at the sepulchre crying in verse 11. And as she crying, she looked inside and she saw two angels. And she said, look, you know, where have you taken him and so on? And then Jesus himself appeared to her and said, look, why are you weeping? Who do you seek? Because at that time, she didn't know it was Jesus. She thought it was the gardener. And he said to him, well, sir, wherever you've taking him, let me know so I will go and get him myself. There was so much love in her heart for the Lord. This was a woman that had seven devils. I guarantee you, devil of fornication, adultery, all of that might have been in her. The devil cast all that stuff. The Lord cast all that stuff out. She's clean now. Lord's not, you know, that part is just there so that you make the connection. And now this woman, when Jesus called her name, Mary, she recognized his voice now. The scales are removed. Rabboni! And she's trying to grab him. Jesus, don't do it now, you know. But here's what I want you to do, you know. But go to my brethren. Hallelujah. Jesus would trust this woman that was rejected of men with the first message of the resurrection. Now, we are in the resurrection weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. You know, how that the Lord would do these things. You know, the Bible says in the book of Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, who has despised the day of small things? You know, or I should say, who are the ones that despise the people of small beginnings? You know, sometimes we despise, you know, small beginnings, you know, because, you know, we see that, well, I mean, can any good thing come out of this person who has been like this and so forth? And they're just despised and rejected, you know, but who knows? Maybe they are the very ones that were chosen by God. I could go on and on, many, many stories, you know, in the Bible like this, but, you know, the people that are despised, the Lord says they shall rejoice. Who has despised the day of small things? Zechariah chapter 4 verse 10. And who has despised the people of small beginnings? They could be women. They could be other people that are despised, rejected, don't belong. You know, the Lord said they shall rejoice. And the eyes of the Lord will be upon them. Seven spirits and seven anointings of God coming upon them. Because the Lord, he will choose. And once the Lord cleanses, Jesus told Peter, you know, once you are washed, you are clean. You know, once the Lord cleanses, you are clean. And God's not dealing with that anymore. You know, and don't you allow the devil to bring that up in your face. Don't you let yourself or even anybody else. And God had to tell Peter, don't you call anything unclean that I have cleansed. Glory to God. You know, and so the Lord has cleansed you. The people may reject you, but God has chosen you. And Jesus said, look, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Isn't that wonderful for us to know that Jesus chose us? You can read that in John chapter 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And even though others rejected you, the Lord said, I have chosen you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. And I have chosen you, that your fruit should remain, so that whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, the Lord is the one that does the choosing. Praise the Lord. The Lord is the one that does the choosing. You know, and many are called, but few are chosen. But the ones that God chooses are not necessarily the ones that people chose. People always look after the outward appearance, you know, and they pick, make their selections based on one thing or the other, you know, but that's not the way God chooses. So here's an encouragement for you today. You know, the life which you have been called into now is a new day for you. You know, and since we talked about this series of coming into the liberty, getting away from the posture of the bondwoman, coming into the liberty of the free woman, since we've talked about this, you are in a new day. Hallelujah. And it's not only for women. This one message is not for women, but it goes on the heels of that as well. You may have been rejected. You may have been despised. You may have been looked narrowly upon, you know. And you know, the religious systems, they're very good at that. Very, very good at doing that. You know, there's a story in Luke chapter, you know, the so-called story of, you know, of the, what do you call it? The good, you know, the good Samaritan, you know, and, in Luke chapter 17. I mean, so it's Luke chapter 10. And when they, we're told that a certain man, let me just read a portion of the story to you. In Luke chapter 10, verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest. Now, these are the religious leaders. A certain priest came that way. What did he do? He passed by on the other side. Likewise, also another religious leader, a Levite, came and looked upon him and passed by the other side. Now, so the religious leaders left the wounded like that to die. You know, they just left him. And that's what, you know, some of the religious systems do till today. The people that are wounded, have been wounded by sin. They have been wounded in many things in their lives. You know, instead of nurturing them back to life, the religious systems will just leave them there to die, reject them, despise them, you know, refuse them and so forth, become, you know, an outcast. You know, they just carry a stigma throughout their lives in the eyes of the religious leaders. And the religious leaders are thinking, you know, why in the world did you leave Jerusalem to go to Jericho? Jerusalem is the house of God. What's your business trying to go to Jericho, Sin City, for? You know, and, you know, whatever evil befell you along the way, you know, you got what you deserved. And so they just passed on and left the wounded like that to die. You know, and, the Lord said, well, he will send somebody else, you know, that will tend and care for him. So your religious leaders may have rejected you. They might have, you know, left you half dead or left you to die. But the Lord, he would have that good Samaritan that will come, bind up your wounds. And may this message today be such a healing. Bind up the wounds, you know, pouring some salt and different things, you know, pouring some medicine, put him on his own horse, take him to the inn, pay the money and say, look, I'll come back and I'll pay whatever else is necessary. And so that's where we stand to today. The things that are rejected by man, they might be the very things that God chose, beginning from the Christ himself, you know, and all these other stories. And there's more, but I'm going to leave it there, you know, and then you can think of it yourself. There are many times that even in our own lives, we look down narrowly on things. But you never know whom God has chosen, you know. And James was warning the people, he said, look, anytime you look down on people just because they are poorly dressed, they look like they are homeless, and they are dressed in raggedy apparel and so forth. Anytime you look down upon them like that, but then when you see somebody come up in a flashy clothes, nice car, you know, and they're a doctor and they're this, when they come into your congregation, you like to announce them, Dr. Such and Such is here. You give them a nice seat. You know, you almost worship them. And you do all of these things. You parade them. You tell everything that they've done. And then this person comes in, you know, as raggedy clothes and everything. You ignore them. You push them down. You say, go sit down here in the corner, and you treat them roughly and all of that, you know, because, you know, they look rough in your eyes. Well, he said, well, you have become judges of evil things, and your heart is not right before the Lord. And he said, look, are these not the same rich people that torment you, that drag you before the courts and so forth? He said, look, you should not have the love of God in your heart with dissimulation. You know, you should love everyone the same. And these people that you're looking at, just because they are raggedy, they're smelly, they don't look like anything going on for them, you don't know, but they may be the ones that God have chosen. And the ones which you are highly exalted may be the ones that are an abomination before the Lord. You know, God's ways are not our ways. So let's think again, you know, today. And this ought to give you hope if you have been on the receiving end of rejection. If you have been on the receiving end of, you know, of being despised. In the book of John chapter 8, you know, they brought this woman that was caught in the middle of adultery. And they said, Moses said, she should be stoned to death. But what say you? Raise the Lord, you know. And the Lord didn't, you know, the Lord didn't come to stone anybody to death. You know, the Lord always has a plan of changing a life and changing their story for good. Hallelujah. You know, and Jesus said, look, I didn't come to condemn, but I come to save. And he looked at this woman and said, look, you know, first he, you know, spoke to the people that brought her and said, look, any one of you that has no sin, let him be the first to cast a stone. And then he stooped down, began to write, you know, some things on the ground. And one by one, they left. And I've often wondered, and I asked people, what do you think? You think Jesus were playing with the sand? Oh, no. I guarantee you the same finger of God that wrote the 10 commandments on the tables of stone and gave them to Moses, that same finger was writing on those, you know, writing on the ground there. Perhaps every one of the commandments, perhaps the names of those people, perhaps the times that they broke those commandments. And some of them were wicked in their hearts. And they may have done the same thing that they were accusing this woman of. And Jesus just wrote it on the sand. You know, and every one of them looked, my goodness, and they were convicted. And they left one by one, you know. And then finally, Jesus looked up and said, woman, where are your accusers? Has no man accused you? And she said, no man, Lord. And she called him Lord. And no man, glory to God, call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, look, I tell you what, you know, there will be harlots, There will be sinners. There will be all these people so-called that will come down and sit down in the kingdom before you all. Because they will turn their hearts to me. And I will cleanse them and I will clean them. But you, because you say you see, then your sins remain. If you had been blind, then you could have gotten some help. But because you say you see, then your sins will remain. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And he changed her story. He changed her life. And that was it. Go and sin no more. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord will have me tell you today that you may have been despised. You may have been rejected. You may have been put aside, looked narrowly upon, dismissed. There's a lot of people that are invisible to religious systems. You may be invisible, you may be dismissed, and so forth. But you're never invisible to God. The Lord, he knows your name. And he's called you, he's chosen you, put his spirit upon you, and you become holy ground. And never let anyone dismiss you again. You know, they may dismiss you in their minds, but you are chosen of God. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to pray over the room. I hope and pray and trust that that's an encouragement to you. And this woman in Matthew chapter 26, Holy Spirit just said, read this. I mean, so let me go read it. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 13. There's a story that is brought out here. Something about rejection, something about being dismissed, and what Jesus said instead. You know, so when Jesus went, Bible says, let me just read it from verse 6 to give us some context. Matthew 26, verse 6. When Jesus was in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, you know, I came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head and sat on me. And when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, say, well, what purpose is this? And so forth. You know, in another place, you know, this was a woman, you know, that was supposed to have been called a sinner. But they even said, well, if this man was a prophet, he would know, you know, that this woman was a sinner. But Jesus said, look, this woman has done something that will be remembered of her. Wherever this gospel shall be preached in all world, this also shall be mentioned. What this woman has done will be told of a memorial for her. Now, so sometimes when we despise, reject somebody, the Lord may choose even the work of their hands for a testimony. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you for all your children that are in the house. We pray especially for those that have felt rejected, despised. Perhaps, you know, you had a past. Well, we all have a past. Every last one of us that's on this platform right now and across the world, we all have a past. Every one of us has a story. And blessed is the man whose transgression is covered, whose iniquity is forgiven. It's because, you know, our transgression has been forgiven and it covered. That's why we're blessed. And so once we are forgiven and blessed, let's not turn around and hold the neck of others and say, pay everything you owe. The Lord said, that's not going to work. You yourself might not be forgiven anymore. So, Lord, I pray that everyone that's in this house, that they will receive encouragement today, no matter your past. And some people have to deal with the stigma of some kind of thing. You know, that we'll have some of our women who are single women. They've been divorced. And so they have to live with that stigma, carry that thing all their lives. Religious systems reject them and say, well, you are a divorced woman. Or divorced man or whoever. Most of the time, the women, you know, they want to suffer this shame that they have to bear, you know. But the Lord said, you know, that was a woman refused. That was a woman rejected. But I've called you. Hallelujah. And thou shalt no more be called refused. Thou shalt no more be called rejected. But your new name will be Hephzibah. And I'll call you Beulah.
Because the Lord delights in you. And the Lord has chosen you and you'll be married, saith the Lord. Huh. Glory to God. Now, people may reject you. Well, don't worry. The Bible says, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it is the Lord with whom we have to do. It's not with these people. You know, in Revelation chapter 5, there was nobody else. No prophet, no apostle, no angel, no pastor, nobody that was found worthy to open that book or to lose the seals. Nobody could do it. And your keys to your salvation and your redemption is not in their hands. Thank God for that. If it were in their hands, you'd never make it. If God gave them the power to pass the final word, you would never make it. Your doom will be sealed. But thank God that nobody was found worthy to open that book or to lose the seals except the Lord, the Lamb that gave his life. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord says, come unto me. Hallelujah. The Lord wants you to come. Glory to God. But when you come, he said, go and sin no more. That's the difference. You know, it's not that God will just, you know, pat you on the head and let you continue sinning. No, he cleanses you of that and cleanses off even of our evil nature, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But go and sin no more. And the Lord says to you today, I have called you, even though thou art a woman refused, I have chosen you. Ha! Glory to God. And I put my spirit upon you. And my spirit that I put on you shall not depart out of your mouth. Hallelujah. But I will bring you into a place that I have chosen for you to be. And shall be a crown of glory. A royal diadem in my hand. And I will cause even the darkness and the clouds to depart from before you. My light shall shine upon you. You are my chosen. And I've made you even a threshing instrument that you will go forth and thresh. For I, the Lord, am he that I called you. Have I not commanded you, said the Lord? Therefore be strong and of a good courage. And look not to their own faces and so forth. Don't look at them. Don't be worried about them. But set your face as a flint. For I am the Lord, I'm with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I give the Lord the praise. I give the Lord the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.